In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Grace to you and peace from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I could never run a marathon. I have brothers who have run marathons, some of them multiple marathons. I could never run a marathon. Now, maybe I don't mean that physically. If I did the right training, if I did the right exercises, if I built up my endurance, ate the right food, took the tips from the experts, maybe at some point I could physically run a marathon. I just don't want to. I don't want to put in the work and the time and the discipline to do that. I don't really see the point of running 26.2 miles for what? I don't know. Now, maybe some of you have run marathons and you did it so you could prove to yourself that you could. Maybe you did it so that you could push the limits of what you thought you were capable of. Did it so you could feel the sense of accomplishment. And it is an amazing accomplishment. I just have zero desire whatsoever to do that. Maybe that's how it is sometimes with the Christian life. Maybe we thought that the Christian life was a sprint, but we find that it is a physical and a spiritual marathon. Body and soul, and we're not finished. It began with faith and baptism, and it ends on the day that we die. Now, I've heard, again, I have no direct knowledge, that during a marathon there are times when a person has a lot of energy, feels the bursts of speed, and it seems easy. And at other times, again, no direct knowledge, that sometimes you hit a wall, and the only way to finish is simply to keep going, to put one foot in front of another, no matter what. Now, in the marathon of the Christian life, it's not that we are lacking anything. It's not that we are lacking any of the necessary resources. God has given us Christ Himself, and with Him, everything else. He's given us His sustaining Word, His Holy Spirit, His holy sacraments. He's given us His very divine life. We, at least right now, have no physical impediments such as persecution to keep us from hearing the Word of God and receiving His gifts. It's not like the gifts aren't there or God has taken them away from us. Sometimes we simply don't want to. Other things get in the way. Maybe we lose sight of the point. We'd rather do this or do that. When Jesus talks in His parable about the seed of faith, the seed of His Word that is planted and grows in faith, He talks about it falling on the rocks of hard hearts. He talks about the devil snatching it up like a bird eats seed. And He talks about that seed growing, but then the weeds of this world, worldly cares and worldly concerns and all of the things that occupy our time, they start to overshadow that little plant, choke out the sunlight, choke out its life. I suspect that at this current time, right now, that's probably the most common. We receive the Word with joy, and then everything else gets in the way. The other things in our life simply crowd out faith in the Christian life. Complacency, weariness, exhaustion. We find ourselves drifting in distraction and apathy. But the author of the letter to the Hebrews encourages us, exhorts us to keep going in this physical and spiritual marathon. Endure, he says. Don't give up. Don't let roots of bitterness spring up that will eventually bear their bitter fruit. Now, when the letter says that we have not yet resisted to the shedding of blood, I always before this took that as persecution. In other words, you haven't resisted against sin and against the enemies of the cross to the point of martyrdom. We haven't resisted the devil, the world, and our own sinful flesh to the point of persecution. And it might be that, or at least include that. But he might also be simply saying that we haven't yet finished the race. We haven't resisted sin until the point of our death yet. We haven't gotten to the end, to our death. Because we're not there yet, we have to endure. We have to bear up under the burdens of living in this world. And it is so that we endure that God disciplines us. Disciplines us in order that we might share in his holiness. As he says, and as we know, no discipline is pleasant at the time. Whether it is physical or spiritual, no discipline is pleasant at the time. No one likes the discomfort of training. There's pain, there's also sorrow and grief. We had earthly fathers, he says, who disciplined us, and those that disciplined us out of love, we respected. They did the best they could, but they were limited in knowledge and ability. But our Heavenly Father is not limited in knowledge or ability or time. He sees all things. He sees the end of all things, and he disciplines us for our benefit and for our ultimate good. He disciplines us to keep us from falling away from Christ. He disciplines us so that we will share in his holiness in Christ. That's the point of it all. That's the goal, sharing in the holiness of God, without which no one will see the Lord. If you were going to run a physical marathon and you hired a trainer to get you there, trainer might give you all sorts of tasks, all sorts of advice, all sorts of things to do to get you to that point. But the trainer can't run the race for you. It is 100% up to you whether you follow the instructions, whether you run the race, and whether you finish it. And we might, if we heard only these words from this part of chapter 12, we might get the impression that this is how Jesus is for us, especially since the letter to the Hebrews holds up Jesus as an example of endurance to the end. The beginning of chapter 12, we heard last week, tells us to fix our eyes on Jesus and to throw off the sin that so easily entangles because we are surrounded by such a great cloud of faithful witnesses who have gone before us. Verse 3 tells us to consider Jesus, who endured such hostility from sinners, in order that we do not grow weary and give up. Jesus is an example for us of endurance to the end, but that's not all he is. It's not only that Jesus finished the race ahead of us, so he knows how hard it is, and now he's cheering us on from the finish line. He did it, now you can do it too. When Jesus says that the door is narrow through which we should strive and struggle to enter, we should realize that that is a door that only he can open. He is, at that moment, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. Because he's not only going to open up the door, he's going to become the door. The door is narrow because it consists only of Jesus with arms outstretched on the cross. Those who try to enter and are not able are those who try to find some other door, some other way, some other Lord, some other Savior, try to finish the race on their own strength. Jesus has finished that work of salvation. The work of constructing the door out of the wood of the cross. He finished it not only ahead of us, but for us. But the fact is that we are not finished. We are still here. And we do grow weary. We do become exhausted. We hit walls and it seems like we can't go on and finish the race. The discipline is unpleasant and painful. Look to Christ, Hebrews says. Look to Him, not only as the one who finished the race, but as the one in whom we will be completed. Jesus is not only the beginner of the faith, the author of the faith, but also the perfecter, the finisher. It is finally only in Christ that we will finish this at all. So yes, discipline your flesh, because your sinful flesh will drag you out of the marathon altogether, cause you to become lazy and complacent and say, I just don't want to. Discipline your sinful flesh. Rejoice in your sufferings, Paul says, because suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, which will not put you to shame. Suffering produces endurance because it is as we bear up and look to Christ that we realize again and again, day after day, week after week, that Christ will never break His promises. No matter what it looks like, no matter what we're feeling or what we're experiencing, that's the promise we have. And so it's in the midst of those sufferings that we see that promise and hear it again and rejoice, and therefore we endure. Therefore, it produces character and hope. Lift up weak hands and legs. And when you are tired and weary, feel like you want to give up, can't go on anymore, look to Christ. Rest in Him. Eat and drink. Christ didn't just put you on the road and say, go run it. He will finish what He started in and for you. The fact is, our flesh will fail. We will come to our end in death. And if Christ has not finished the race for us, there is no one who can endure. Because no matter how hard you train or how much you discipline, we all die if Christ doesn't return first. But Christ has run the race all the way. He endured the cross, despising the shame. So we go on, enduring, continuing, believing, because we know that when our flesh and breath and hearts finally do give out, He will bring us over the finish line in resurrection. Then the last in death will be first in life, because the first, the beginning of life, made Himself last in death. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.